It is just so good to be in God's house tonight. I want you to turn with me to Acts 3. I'm praying that you're bringing your Bibles, even though we're putting it up on the screen. It's just something about opening your word and reading through it and touching the pages and letting it come alive to you. And we're going to get there in just a moment and just keep it open because we're going to spend a lot of time there this evening. But I love what A.B. Simpson said. He said, the chief danger of the church today is that it is trying to get on the same side as the world instead of turning the world upside down. Our master expects us to accomplish results, even if they bring opposition and conflict. Anything is better than compromise, apathy, and paralysis. God, give to us an intense cry for the old-time power of the gospel and the Holy Ghost. That there is a hunger once again in the church. When you read through the book of Acts, you see that the apostles certainly understood opposition and conflict, and we're going to look at a little bit of that in tonight's message. Acts 1 and 8 is the foundational verse for Acts. We've been reading it every single week. There are just some things you just need to get down in your own spirit to where it just resonates within you and you can just quote it without even thinking. So it'll be up on the screen. If you don't have your Bible, well, you have your Bible open to three. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come up on you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When you think about the infilling presence of Holy Spirit, He will empower us. He will infuse us with character, with courage, with moral fiber, with wisdom, with conviction to walk in truth. He will purify our hearts and our minds to line up with the things of God and the Word of God. As He works in us and through us, we will become physical representations of Christ, and we will bear fruit even when we're walking through some of life's most difficult and challenging circumstances, because our roots go down deep. We're not trusting in the arm of flesh. We're trusting in God, and so our roots go down into the riverbed. And it doesn't matter what season we're in, we're still going to bear fruit because we're hooked into the vine. And when we remain in Him, there's going to be fruit. Last week, we looked at this truth that there's one inlet of spiritual power, and that's Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us power. But there are five outlets of power: our life, our words, our service, what we do for the kingdom, our money, and our prayers. Those are the outlets. One inlet, five outlets that are the main things. Psalms 87 and 7 says, they were singing, and they said, all my fountains are in you. From His Spirit, the fountains of the deep are released in us, and we become the riverbed for the river of God. You know, over in John, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow what?
Rivers.
What?
Rivers.
Not river, not singular, not a trickle, not one-time event that we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. But He said, out of your belly, out of your spirit will flow rivers of living water. So when we're connected into the vine, and all of our fountains are in Him, the fountains of the deep, we're plugged in to the main source, then we become the riverbed for His river to flow through. It's not dependent upon what I feel or what I even see in the moment, because I'm up and down. I'm all over the place. I have good days and I have bad days, you know, but He doesn't change. So when we stay connected to the vine, those rivers can continue to flow. We're the conduit for His power. In Him, we live, we move, we have our being. We're the gateway for His glory. He rests, He resides, He inhabits the praises of His people. So we're the gateway that ushers in the glory of God. Do you understand? That's why the enemy tries to silence you, tries to shut down your mouth, tries to intimidate you. He does not want you to create an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to dwell, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom.
There God can move and do miracles in our lives and in our midst. So we're the gateway for His glory. We're His church. We're the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. We are now in the kingdom of His dear Son. We've been given the keys to the kingdom, power and authority. We're filled with, not part, we're filled with all the fullness of God. Peter said we have everything we need to live a life of godliness. There's no lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not lack. He gives the Spirit without limit. So anytime He's limited, it's not Him. It's not Him. We also looked at the biblical prescription and a beautiful example of a healthy church in Acts 2:42, the New Testament church. We found that in verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they stayed in the word, they continued in the word and in fellowship. They did not go off renegade or rogue, off all by themselves, because you know when you go off all by yourself, the enemy's going to play with your mind. He's going to tell you all kinds of things that are not true, get you all vulnerable and get you all upset. And you'll start thinking things that aren't true and perceiving things that aren't true and getting all whacked out. They continued in fellowship. That's why he said, you cannot forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We've got to come together. We've got to provoke one another, encourage one another. Keep going. Come on, keep going. And that's what we have to do too. And they continued in the breaking of bread. They took communion together and remembered the Lord and the price that He paid. And they stayed steadfast in prayer. We find that throughout the book of Acts, because they stayed focused on the foundation of these disciplines, and they relied on the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they walked in trust and obedience. There's a part that we play, that they experienced powerful kingdom results. You realize we're part of that Acts church. We are. We're part of that. They walked in unity. They walked in, they participated in outreach, and they were very generous. And because of that, they experienced exponential growth, and then they discipled other believers and sent them forth. They experienced God's mighty manifest presence, and there were miraculous signs and wonders that would follow the preaching of the word. And one of the miracles we looked at, just recapping briefly, was in Acts 3 about the lame man, lame since birth. Every day someone would carry him to the temple, set him there so that he could beg alms and make a living. And one day he did not know what he was getting into, but Peter and John, on their way to prayer, they weren't waiting on the church service to get all filled up. They were on their way to prayer. And they said, "We don't have silver and gold, but what we have, we're going to give to you." They looked him square in the eye. This is where boldness comes in. "I don't have anything, Mandy. I don't have anything. I can't give you any money. I can't do that. But what I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then they pulled him up. They didn't just say it and then walk away. They followed through. Come on. And immediately, in the name of Jesus, immediately there was strength that came into his ankle bones, and he jumped up and began leaping and praising God. And all that saw it were filled with wonder and amazement. Oh, for the day that God begins to pour out his Spirit in the house again, and we just flow in kingdom power, and God just does what he does. Because that's who he is when we create an atmosphere and he begins to move and the people are in awe and wonder and begin to come because the house is on fire. You know, and they're going to come and see what's happening. Now, I'll tell you what saddened. This is not in my notes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what is sad. Is that we, and I love to do this because we just went to a women's conference a couple weeks ago. But when we went, there were 650 women come from all churches all over Delmarva, D.C. They came with an expectancy. They came in from the get-go. They were wired. They were ready. There was no one that had to prompt them to stand, to sing, to encourage them. Come on, come on. Get in the service. God has something for you. They came ready. And because they came in and we were all ready, we were all expectant, we were all in one mind and one accord, it was electric. It was fire. People getting filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit like that. They didn't tarry for hours. There was an expectancy. There was a hunger. There was faith. The same thing will happen in our home church if we would come in that way. If we would come ready to prayer, to Wednesday night, to Sunday morning, not waiting for the right song or to be prompted or raise your hands and worship the Lord. You're raising your hands before you stand up because you're expectant. You're excited. You know what God can do because he's done it before. Signs and wonders will follow that kind of expectancy. That's a prophetic word. That's hot off the press. On a Wednesday night.
Yes, yes.
I don't know about y'all, but I've been praying that Wednesday night grows as big as Sunday morning.
Yes. Amen.
And that there's expectancy.
Hallelujah.
That there's fire on the roof.
Yes.
And people are drawn. I'm praying that that we don't have to prod anybody ever again in Loch Lynn to worship God. But we come in and we're stirred in our belly because we've been reading the word. And we've been in the presence of God. And we know he's the God that does not change and he's the God of the impossible. And we begin to think of all the things that he's done in the past. And we begin to lift up the name of Jesus and we come in and there's so much brewing in our belly that we just create the atmosphere. And even in the very back seat, the very back row, someone jumps up and yells, I'm healed! Woo! Because of the power that's in the house. Because of the expectancy. God honors that. We are the gateway through which his glory flows. Verse 11, they were in wonder and in amazement. Now listen to this, at the healing of this man. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. There they are again. They're still in astonishment. They've gathered together. It was an undeniable miracle. And it captured the attention of the crowd, and they stood in awe of God's power. So Peter again took the opportunity to preach. He's like, this is a good time right here to just talk about the Lord. What a change in Peter. He had denied the Lord three times. I'm not faulting him or putting him down. I've done things in my own life I'm not proud of. There have been times I've allowed disappointment and discouragement to hold me down in my seat. I'm not gonna fault Peter. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, And they continued steadfastly in the word and in prayer and in fellowship and breaking the bread. And they keep themselves stirred up. He went from being meek and mild and he wasn't meek and mild in nature, but he was when it came to the night that he denied Christ. But here he is boldly preaching the gospel of Jesus. Jennifer Kennedy Dean, I've shared this before. Some of you haven't heard it. God wants to answer our prayers in such a way that he will be glorified. He wants our lives to be billboards upon which he can advertise himself. He wants our lives to be stages upon which he can perform. He wants our lives to be trophy cases in which he can display his mighty deeds. Now, I want you to look with me at verse 12. Here's Peter preaching. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you now see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. In the name of Jesus and by faith, this man stands whole in the name. Jeremiah 10:6 says, there is none like you, O Lord. You are great and your name is great in might. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they are safe. I want you to stand. We're going to have a Selah moment here. My singers better sing loud. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. All over this place where you sit down, will you lift your hands? We lift up your name, Jesus. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Your name is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Even tonight, God, there are people that I believe you're touching from the top of their head to the sole of their feet in this room that you are refreshing, renewing, reviving, and restoring. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ha ha. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open your mouth and let him feel it. Open your mouth. He's going to refresh you right now. Open your mouth. Tell God how good he is. Lift up that name that is above every name. You're worthy, oh God. Great and mighty are you. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Thank you, Lord. God is good. You can be seated for a moment. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to develop a lifestyle of worship and wonder in your life. To ponder, to meditate on the goodness of God and on the word of God and the power of the name of Jesus. When you leave here tonight, it's still going to be light. I want you to look at everything that's in bloom right now. I want you to see that the trees of the field clap their hands. Every wind that blows, that's the movement of God. Those flowers that are coming out, that's the handiwork of God. When you look in the mirror, you're the handiwork of God. And I just want you to be aware and develop worship in your life. Give him praise when you feel like it and when you don't. When the enemy's right all up in your business and your face and saying that you're not worthy to worship, you know you got flaws, you got weaknesses, you just push him right back and say, you're absolutely right, I do have those, but he's worthy. And I'm going to praise him anyhow. And it's going to break the back of the enemy off of you. And it's what's going to create an atmosphere in here for miracles to happen. It's when we come together, I'm going to say it again, with a heart of worship, a mind to serve God, and we lift him up and we push through the junk and the stuff. And the more that you do that, you begin to develop worship in your life to where you, it's who you are. It's because of who he is. It's not even something you think about. It becomes like breathing. I'm excited tonight. I want you to look at Acts 3:17. He's preaching on. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as did your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Then he calls them to repentance. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. He again, here in this chapter, he calls them to repentance as he did on the day of Pentecost. And he says, turn. Don't just repent today, but turn. Many today are sorry in the moment because they're found out and they're confronted, or because we feel a moment of conviction, but then we walk out of here and we don't turn away from sinful behaviors with the grace of God. We become comfortable in church with using grace as a ticket to cover our sins, instead of grace as extraordinary power to give us victory over our sins. That's what it's all about, is allowing him. And he says, when you do that, times of refreshing is going to come in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 16 and 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We keep seeking for peace and fulfillment and joy in things that are carnal and temporal, and we keep coming disappointed. We keep trying to get people and places. We think, if I can just move here, if I can just go there, if I can just be around these people or have them for friends. But it's never going to satisfy, because we have this God-sized hole that only God can fill. So he says, turn. These things you're putting your trust in, they're empty. And when you do that, God's going to refresh you. He's going to revive you, and he's going to restore your soul. Peter continues to preach down through verse 26, and I'm going to let you read that, and we're going to move on to Acts 4 for time's sake. 4:1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them. Not like you're thinking, they laid hands on them, put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, listen to this. Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men that came to the Lord were about 5,000. So in one church service, 5,000 were added to the kingdom. The word of God stirred the Sadducees to the point they arrested Peter and John and put them into jail till the next day. The Sadducees were the wealthier aristocratic Jews of the day. They held the majority of the seats in the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council. They had influence, and some of their gain was not through upright dealings. So they didn't want to hear about Jesus. When you look in Matthew 22, they were disputing and questioning Jesus about the law of Moses. And Jesus said, you neither know the scriptures nor the power of God. So here these rulers are. They're offended by the boldness of these disciples and by the word of the Lord. They're offended. And so, because they called them out and said, you're the ones that crucified Jesus. We're living in a time when there's a lot of offense in the world we're living in. I don't know about you, but I'm troubled by the disdain for truth, by the hatred toward Israel. We need to get a handle on this in America. I never thought we would see a day when our government would allow so much stuff to run wild, crazy, the lawlessness, the brazenness, the irreverence for God and his word and his house, the mocking that is going on. Even people that have been raised in church. It troubles me, the brazenness of sin and the lack of power in God's people, because we're becoming carnally minded. We're blending in too much. I'm proud to be a tongue-talking, blood-washed child of the living God. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't want to blend in with the world. I don't want to just get by. I want to stand up. I want to walk through the crowd and people know that Jesus is in the room. Yes. Not because of anything I say or anything I do, but just God is so big that he's flowing out. Romans says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's not my opinion. We've got to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow Jesus. We've got to walk in righteousness. We got to crucify the flesh. We got to push against that's pushing against us. We got to draw some lines in the sand. We have to have some moral clarity in our life, some difference there. We have to have some boundaries in our life. That there's things I'm not going to do. There's places I'm not going to go. There's things I'm not going to watch or listen to because it's not good for me. It's not spiritually healthy, and it sure doesn't glorify him. As we continue to read in Acts 4 and 5, I want you to make note of what a kingdom life looks like. And it came to pass on the next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were with the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here whole." By the name of Jesus. No other name under heaven by which man can be saved. He says that, verse 11. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for is there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved." Peter was operating under a fresh unction from Holy Spirit, an anointing that is available to every believer, not just pastors, not just church leaders. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you. Every one of you sitting here tonight are a minister of reconciliation. Your pulpit may be different than mine, but God working in you is able to do the same. And we are his hands extended. Verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus." I want people to know I have been with Jesus. I know you want people to know that. That's why you're here on a Wednesday night, fired up, ready to go with a revival spirit. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, that's all I ask. Is to be like him all through life's journey, from earth to glory. That's all I ask, is to be like him. When you look on down in the next 8 verses, and I pray you'll go home and read them, the council had to admit that there had been a notable miracle that had to be done by the hands of God. They couldn't deny it. They couldn't dispute it. They could find no reason to keep them in jail. But they did threaten them. They didn't want them going and preaching and teaching. So since they couldn't hold them, they threatened them. They said, "No longer preach in his name." You know, tried to get them to back down and to bow down. But before Peter and John left, they said, "We can't help but speak about Jesus. We can't come under your command right here to not say anything." It's kind of like Jeremiah, when he was tired of preaching to people that didn't want to listen, and he said, I'm just not going to speak any longer. And he said, "While I laid there, the fire burned, and I could not help but tell of the wonders and the things of God in my life." And that's what they said. So Acts 23 tells us that when they departed, they went and gathered with other believers, and they did what had become as natural to them as eating, sleeping, and breathing. They prayed. I love what Andy Murray said. He said, "If the spiritual life be healthy under the full power of the Holy Spirit, praying without ceasing will be natural." I'm going to read that again. Because if you're not there, don't get under condemnation. Don't get under bondage. Just keep your face toward the Lord. That's how you grow. If the spiritual life be healthy, under the full power of the Holy Spirit, praying without ceasing will be natural. It's like worship. You develop it. You develop it. There are things that's just not going to come naturally to your flesh. So you push your flesh down and you worship when you feel like it and when you don't. Because the word says, let everything that what? Hath breath do what? Praise the Lord. And he says, praise the Lord when? At all times. At all times. Bring the sacrifice of praise. That's how you develop worship. It's the same way with prayer. You pray in the morning, you pray over your meals, you pray at noon, you pray at bed. And every time in between, you begin to meditate on the Lord. And pretty soon, your worship, your prayer, you're bearing fruit. You're being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to what pleases the Lord and what doesn't. It becomes just as natural as breathing because you're developing it. And so I encourage you this week, pay attention to Holy Spirit. We're getting ready to wind a few things up. So in verse 24, they're gathered together and they're praying for boldness. They've just encountered opposition. They're going to encounter much more in Acts. They realize that. So they come together. Verse 24, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now listen to this. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders will be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Lord, move through us. Help us when the opposition is coming. We're in a time of great opposition. We're in a time when people do not want to hear the word. It makes them angry. They're so angry. So they accuse you of not loving. You don't even have to say anything. You're just standing there minding your own business. And because you won't agree, because they get in your face and say, you don't love because you won't agree. You need to agree. You're loving. It makes them angry. It's the Spirit of God in you. But we need to pray for love and for boldness and for clarity in the day that we're living, to stand firm as the church and hold fast to the truth of God's word and let God move in us. And when they did that, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. The place was shaken. God wants to shake some things today. He wants to show up in our midst, in a powerful way. He wants to fill people's hearts and minds with wonder as he did then through the church, allowing God to arise and our enemy to scatter. Tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer. We're facing a lot of opposition in this world, in our community. People want to believe their own truth. They want to believe what makes them feel good. There was a time, you know this. There was a time when there was black and there was white, whether you were a Christian or whether you weren't. There was a reverence for God, for his house, for the things of God. There was a morality. People still prayed. They knew where to go when things got tough. That's no longer. We are in a very post-Christian era, even though some of us are second and third generation Christians. It's moving from that. Truth and righteousness disrupt and anger the woke ideologies of the day. We become morally bankrupt. And I'm going to say it again, never in America would I have thought, I know you read the Bible, that we would allow our historical landmarks to be desecrated and tore down and history to be changed, to take over our college campuses and threaten to suspend them. They should do more than threaten. You know, let people destroy things and get by with it. Never. We need prayer. And we're going to pray tonight. Ronald Reagan said, our nation will prosper or decline in direct proportion to our selection of leaders who are guided by the Holy Spirit. If we fail to select godly leaders, our destiny will surely be as that of the Roman Empire. We need to vote. We need to pray. And we need to vote. Godly. We've got to do our part. And we've got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. We've got to worship the Lord with every fiber of our being and live out there what we say we live in here. We can't do a double standard anymore. The lines have been drawn. The time of his coming is near. And the church, he said in the last days, there's going to be a great falling away. We've seen that. But he also said he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And he is doing that. You can see that across even in our young people and in the college campus. It's kind of a crazy thing that's going on. And we've got to stand in. So we're